thank you for those prayers. I also pray that the word of the Lord will be blessed this morning. I know it takes Him. Flip it on. So, I want to tell you, good to see you again. You haven't been here for a little while. This hasn't been necessarily because I have been intentionally not coming. It's just the way it's worked out. Things have changed some. Different people they're not here. They used to be. And I've noticed sometimes after we have not been together for a while, you ever notice sometimes you go to Monarch and maybe as young people you were good friends last year and you hadn't seen them all year. Social media may have changed all this. You talk all the time. But back when I was young, we didn't talk all the time. And me being a male, I didn't do a lot of writing. It just wasn't me. So anyway, a lot of times some friends I saw last Monarch time through the year, it came Monarch time. We had all this anticipation. I'm going to see these people again. I want to see how they're doing. And sometimes a little bit of ice that had to be broken. You ever notice that? A little tension maybe in the air. Kind of wonder how. Some people are good at going up and say, "Hi, how are you doing?" And just kind of break. Well, I've recognized that tension before as a young person. And sometimes at the beginning of a meeting, there's a little bit of a tension. And I want you to know, we need to sit down together as a family this morning and come before the Lord. I will thank the Lord this morning for the time we have here together and for being able to share these wonderful songs of Zion that turns our hearts and our minds to the blood of Jesus Christ. And it blends well with what's in our hearts today about thanksgiving to God. Even in the midst of some of the changes and disappointments that many people have faced here in this congregation. And I want to share with you and tell you that to those of you who are still learning to walk beyond your pain. Maybe I didn't say it exactly right. Maybe it's you still have your pain, but learning how to walk again. I have a certain kinship I feel with you, because I also feel some of that. But I want you to know that we don't need to get stuck back there. The Lord has future still for us. And I want us to look at that future. It's okay to. It's okay also. I think it's proper for us to have our times of grief, have our times of wishing from the deepest part of our heart that it was different. I still do. And I know you do too. There's moments that came by the grave. You see gravestones or something and they bring back all kinds of memories. It's okay. It's okay to grieve. But I want you to know there's still a future for you and I. And you younger ones, I want you to be encouraged in the ways of the Lord. When I saw these children came up here, the younger ones, my heart leaps. When I look out in this congregation, I see the children and I see the young people. And you mean very much to me. You're so precious to me because I am being confronted more and more with the reality that time's going by. And we're not going to always be here. And as long as what the Lord tarries, His coming, He's got a place for you. Every one of us. Here today. And I would ask you today, don't put this off and say, well, He's got a place for this person and that person and that person. Maybe these in the congregation. He's got a place. No, put your name there. He's got a place for you today. Father's house, He's interested in all of us having a part in this ministry. I think Brother Marty asked the question last night. What Paul asked, that, what you, Lord, what should I do? What do you have for me? I want you to ask that question to yourself still today. Lord, what would you have me do? And you might say that, well, I can't preach. That's okay. God doesn't call everybody to be a preacher. Well, I can't sing. That's all right. God doesn't call everybody to be a singer. In my time, I have had good contact, close contact with some that just weren't good singers at all, but they loved the Lord, and they made a joyful noise unto the Lord. We had an old brother years ago, which you all don't know, likely don't know. He lived up in our area, and he could not sing. I mean, couldn't. Not even close. But he loved these songs. And all day meeting would come along, and he would come in, especially for those, and he was thrilled at these songs, and he put his voice to them too. And you know what? I believe every note he tried to sing rang true in his heart, and I'm confident it was received happily from the throne of the Father. Loves to hear us try. And I want to tell you this morning too, young folks, as you exercise yourself in the Lord, whether it be singing or testifying or praying, you know, we need to have prayer warriors. We need to have those who is willing. And in a meeting, a large meeting, that's not the time to begin exercising. But in your home congregations, that's a good time to start. You know, Wednesday night prayer meeting is a good time. Good time to start exercising. And you don't have to pray for the next 10 minutes or 5 or even 1. Just share what the Lord has on your heart. Begin. And sometimes you're going to forget everything you intended to say when you start preaching. Or start praying. And you're going to feel like you just failed completely. You know, the best place to have those failures is in the home congregation with people who love you. And they're going to be... I had a sister one time after I had just felt like crawling in a hole and fading away. Had her come up and give me a little pat. Said, I appreciate what the Lord had for you tonight. And I felt like, oh, I know you. If you just knew how I felt. But that's what the Lord has for each one of us. You know, she was a helper. She was an encourager. And God wants us to do that too. Amen. To call for the good and the best of each other. To be thankful. To be helpful. So I want to encourage us here. And I've got some scriptures here written down. I'm trying to figure out where I should start. Yes, amen. Let's start over here in 2 Timothy, the second chapter. I hope you don't feel too full of tension when I'm sitting here figuring which way to go. Because we're just families, aren't we? We can go ahead and relax. Oh, I'm grateful when I see people that have come in from different places. I'm thankful. Glad we're here together this morning. Glad you made it safely. Glad you're here today. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. And I'm over here in 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. I'm going to go down here around the 15th verse. Maybe go up above that some. Anyway, the 15th verse, we're going to read that first. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, I want us to begin to think of what young men, I really hope that in the process of your growing in grace and following the Lord, I hope you'll hear the call of the Lord on your life. And I said young men, that doesn't exclude young women, but especially I want our young men to feel that. It's the Lord calls men and women into His service. But it's historically has been so that the Lord has laid the greater burden of the ministry. I said the greater burden, not exclusively, but the greater burden of His ministry on men. And I can't call you, it's not proper for me to call you, but I want you to know there is a God who wants to call you into His service. There's a God who wants to inspire you. And this is the process that it will, the road that it will take in your life. You will serve the Lord. You will begin to hunger and thirst and put in practice. You will study. You will look into the Word. You will receive an appreciation for that Word. And you will spend some time. You will take time away from sometimes other things that are enjoyable and dedicate some time to the Lord. This is what... Don't expect to get saved today and start preaching tomorrow. Amen. Don't expect to get inspired during a time when... Maybe during a camp meeting and decide, well, maybe the Lord's called me to preach. If you haven't been living a consistent godly life, maybe the Lord might call you, but He's interested in you putting some background under you, getting your footing, getting a foundation. You don't start off preaching. You don't start off in something large. God wants you to study, to show yourself approved. He wants you to put in action some things. All right. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, 11th verse, it's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. So what He's saying right here in this verse, if we believe not, there's a lot of people won't believe. There's a lot of people that are going to claim they're not going to buy into trusting and following the Lord. But that doesn't mean that it won't work in your life. He's going to still be faithful. There's a lot of, we can deny, but we're still going to have to be confronted with His truth eventually. He's still going to be, and also if we believe and receive, there will be an active working of God's law, His truth, His Holy Spirit in our lives. He wants to do that individually with every one of us. So this morning, I may have mentioned young men, and my burden is especially to our young folks. But my burden isn't exclusively to the young folks. It is to every one of us. Because God has a place for you. And maybe you say, well, I got saved later on in life. Or maybe I was 40 years old before I got saved. Thank God you got saved. He's got to work for you. Amen. Don't feel like that you've skipped out. No, you haven't. God has a place for you. This is what He generally does. You know, when He saves somebody, there's such an inspiration comes in their young heart, their desire for the things of the Lord. There's such an inspiration there, and it motivates you. I remember after I got saved, one of the things that my brother and I started out fairly young together in the ways of the Lord. We were both still young men at home, and it was our practice in the evening before going to bed to read our Bibles and pray. And one morning I had to get up and milk the cows the next morning pretty early. And I noticed a light still on in my brother's bedroom. And I looked in there and opened the door. I thought it was kind of early for him to be up, about 4:30 in the morning. And opened the door and he was still on his knees. He was asleep, but he was still on his knees. But that's the pattern of what we would do. And it wasn't... Yes, sometimes it's habitual, but it's more than that. It's a good habit to form, to give attention to these things in our life, because by it there's growth. Study to show yourself approved unto God. God's interested in us becoming established and settled and strengthened. Come to the place that we have something. When Wednesday night comes around, God wants us to be able to have something to share. Think about it ahead of time. You know, in our minds, we realize Wednesday night's coming around. And I'm busy with life, especially young men. I tell you, you get children, and you got jobs, and time seems to be soaked up with all the pressures of life. And you come home, and you walk in the door, and honey says, and your wife says, you know, honey, it's getting, this is Wednesday night, and it's getting late. Oh, Wednesday night. I forgot. We got to go. Oh, and you haven't given much thought. And you know, it's kind of hard to go to Wednesday night prayer meeting and have a burning testimony when you hadn't thought about it throughout the week. It's just a reality. God doesn't want us just to contrive things. He wants it to be organically real within our heart. He wants it to be practical, something that I've practiced, something that's part of me. And yes, we can do that in our life. I heard somebody wrote something about a deer hunter. They went a deer that they had pursued and finally got it the other day. And I heard that young man writing about what it was like. And in that, in his mind, it wove in how some thoughts about God. God wants to be woven into every part of our life. The song Brother Bobby sang a while ago, I thank God for every little blessing, every little thing. And Lord, help us to train our minds to see the little blessings, to be thankful for what's there. We can build today. Did you know these great castles that are still standing over there in Europe, they weren't built in a month. But they started out with one stone upon another. And that's what we're going to need to do. Need to begin to build something. And God has laid a foundation. It's not on anybody else but Him. And I want to tell you today, if there's any place in our system, in our mind, if there's any place that we've put a place in our mind that we use self-aggrandization or we puff ourselves up, dear ones, that's not the Spirit of Christ. It's not. And Lord will never bless that. Because it's got to be about Jesus. He is the one that the fountain came from. He is the one that can save and change lives. And so we want to encourage you today to study, to show yourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth, shunning profane and vain babblings. Have you ever ran across any of that? You know, it's my nature. Sometimes I like to enter into conversation with people, and there's times that I've run onto people, ran onto the Seventh-day Adventist one time, and he was dead set on convincing me that we needed to. I needed not do one drop of work on Saturday. From Friday, sunset on Friday to, what was it, sundown on Saturday. And I was trying to help him learn that the Sabbath was Jesus Christ. And it was much greater than one day. And it was a Sabbath in our soul. And we were just passing each other in the... After a while, I realized I was just... This is vain babbling. There comes a point that if we're not careful, carnality can get into this thing. And we should guard from that. This is something the Lord teaches us. And we learn. So... I know it says here, shun profane, but part of the studying to rightly dividing, part of the growth in this area is observing, looking back and observing and realize, you know, that really wasn't good. It really was something I ought to, and the Lord will step up beside us and say, child, you see how you're feeling in your soul right now? I'm the Prince of Peace. I'm here. And he'll say, we all know that what they're thinking or what they're doing is wrong. But it's not your job to fix that everything. Your job is to model me. Show them Christ. And part of what you just showed them was yourself. You know, that's the reason why Moses was condemned. He didn't go over to the land of Canaan. You know why? Said he didn't sanctify the Lord. You remember what the situation? You remember? I need to recount it to you. You remember how the children of Israel were so abrasive and so rebellious and thirsty? You can't hardly blame them. They were thirsty. But their trust wasn't in the Lord. And Moses was being pressed in the spirit. And you remember they came to the rock and the Lord said, I want you to speak to it this time. He smote it before. He said, this time speak to the rock. But Moses, in his heat of his spirit, in his carnality, began to bubble up. And he said, shall I smite the rock, you rebels? Remember that? And what did they see? What did God intended for those people, the children of Israel, He intended them to see the power of God. By Him, Moses was supposed to say, rock, give forth your water. In the name of the Lord of heaven, Jehovah, God, come forth. And water would have come out of that. But instead, they saw Moses in his carnality. And it cost Moses. These things cost us. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to learn. He doesn't always hold us back at that place. But He wants us to learn from that. And go beyond that and grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you young men, observe how things go in your life. Not only how it works in your own life, but look at those who have went before. And pattern your life after the wisdom and the godliness that you see in others. I know some of you knew Brother Clifford Wilson, some of you didn't. But that man patterned Jesus Christ in front of me. Yes. He just did. I'm not here to lift up a man. Please understand the difference. But I see what God did in him. And it speaks to me about Christ. And calls to me. And God wants us to mark those who have done well in their life. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. God wants us to behold those who have made a success out of their walk with the Lord and begin to pattern our lives the same path they took. Maybe not necessarily after them, but after the same God that they're following. Understand? I'm not here to glorify man, but I am here to point toward Christ. And God wants us today to be able to follow passionately after the things of the Lord. And I want to encourage us in this way too. I know I'm not insensitive to the feelings that many of us have of grief and sorrows. And there's a part of us, maybe not you. I have to say for myself, there have been part of me during some of my struggle that are still ongoing that I would feel nothing better than to go climb in a hole in some other corner of the world and not say hi to anybody for the next 6 months. That's just, grief may not touch you that way. But there have been many times I felt like running to, there's even a verse about that, oh, for the wings of a dove, or wings of a bird, that I might fly into the wilderness. And there, be careful how you use the scripture, because God doesn't want you to do that. I'm not telling you, you won't feel some of that. But I'm telling you, God doesn't want us to give over to the point that we are paralyzed. Doesn't. We can go through some of those feelings. And we will likely face these places that are difficult. Again, I'm telling you this as someone who feels some of what you feel anyway. But I also am telling you that God is calling us not to forget those that we love, but to remember Christ and follow passionately after tomorrow where God yet calls us to. To a bright hope. I hear some of these songs and some of them touch me and I cry. Sometimes I've cried this morning some because of grief. It's all right. But I also cry because of hope. Have we any hope within us of a life beyond the grave? Yes, I do. I do. And we do have a bright hope. Well, I don't know how much farther I want to go on in that verse. The woman at the well, you remember her, that's over in John. John, I think the fourth chapter. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. I think Brother Rodney mentioned today about that well that springs up within us. Jesus also mentioned that to that woman at that well. Do you remember that? Yeah. What well were they setting beside? You know, he mentioned about this well that would spring up into everlasting life. This, he said, I will give you to drink. If you just knew who was talking with you and you'd ask me, I would give you a satisfying portion that you would never need more. Thank the Lord for that. And do you know what well they were setting beside? Called Jacob's well, wasn't it? Yes. You know how old that well was about that time? About 1,800 years old. You know how deep that well was? About 160 feet. It wasn't all sand. The digging was hard. You ever seen a picture of that well? Look down in there. That well, it wasn't very long until they hit bedrock. And they dug. And they dug. 160 feet. I don't know around here. I'm a farm boy, and we have silos. I haven't seen any silos much around here. That's a height of. We have a silo at 70 feet at home, and I'm just thinking of something to get twice that depth, twice bedrock. Digging, something was precious down there, and they didn't know it was down there. They were digging for it. They were studying to show themselves. Approved. They were intent on finding the precious value that was there. I want to tell you, this is one of the challenges I have for you young men. God's got something for you. But you may have to dig through some bedrock. Oh, what joy they must have found when 150 some or 60 feet down, they hit water. 160 feet. I want to challenge you to dig 4 feet in bedrock. It varies the measurements that I've heard, but somewhere in that vicinity, it's a long ways down. And they got water. Young men, there's something that the Lord just simply built within the male psyche, that there's something very rewarding to a young man to face challenges and to overcome. And to gain the victory on the other side, it feels good. God meant it to feel good to a young man. He meant you to have that spirit in you, that passion, that drive, that willingness, maybe the unwillingness to quit. Quit you like men. Be strong. God's interested in you young men, especially the young men, to grasp hold of the challenge that is before you. First, get to know the Lord for yourself. Follow after Him. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Put this to practice in your life. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Allow the Lord to begin to conquer your passions in this, your human passions. Subject them to Christ. Put them in the proper perspective in your life. There are some things the Lord made you with. He intended them to be there. He intended them to be sanctified and meet for the Master's use. He didn't intend them to be rulers of your life. He intended Himself to be the one who takes what He's given you and use it in a way that'll be a blessing to you, your family, your children, your future, and to your community around about, to the congregation you live in. God intended, young men, for you to have that drive in you, to be able to come to a setting like this, to give your ardor to the Lord, to sing the songs from the depths of your heart, to give a testimony from what's bubbling down, that this well that's bubbling down inside you, something, because you've been and you had a taste of that fountain. Jesus gave you a drink. Now you've got something bubbling out, something you can share with others. That's what God wants. Forgive me, I don't mean just a young man. Oh, every one of us, but especially you young ones, you younger ones growing up, God has something for you. I hope you remember this as you grow up. Hope that God holds before you a picture of some achievement that He has before you. God made us that way. That we feel a lot of there's a sense that of accomplishment that the Lord, He wants us to enjoy gaining those victories. And then He sets another goal before us. And another one, and another one, and another one. And we find that we're climbing up the mountain. We're going higher with the Lord. And we have things then to share with those that come behind us. God wants us to make straight paths for our feet, that the lame be not turned out of the way. I know that perhaps He doesn't want our lame legs turned out of the way. He doesn't want us to step aside. He wants a good straight path, but He also wants us to set a path that if anybody follows us in that path, it is a safe place. We don't want those who follow behind us, we don't want to set a path that's so close to the world or so close to the danger in their life that the younger ones, maybe somebody who not as careful, that they might fall off the precipice. We want to have a safe place. God wants us to set a safe boundary for those around us that they might follow in a way that'll bless their soul. Set an example. Well, the Lord is interested in encouraging, inspiring every one of us. First Peter 3. The whole chapter here is good, and I don't think I'm going to read the whole thing. But I wish you would at some point. First part of it deals with the human relationships, wives, husbands, adornment. You notice the first part, let the adornment. Perhaps that is prescription for how we should dress ourselves, but I think beyond that, I think it's really a prescription of how of the very spirit we should have. I hope we don't just get hung up on not the wearing of gold. And I'll agree with you on that. I think it's scriptural. But it's the spirit that causes the gold to be there. That's what he's talking about. He's asking for the women to conduct themselves in such a godly, winning way that the man would see in them their adornment now is not of just carnal adornment. That's really what he's saying here. That the women would adorn themselves in such a way, it's not just carnal adornment that's attracting their husband, but it is a spiritual adornment. It's this godly apparel that's all inside her. The way... and. So he's got something also for the men. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel. Young men, as we read the scripture, let these scriptures be a guide to your life. Because God wants to make something out of you. God is in the process of leading you to a place of leadership. And you especially, if you feel like that, well, God's never going to have, I'm not going to be a minister, I'm not going to be, but He wants you to take a wife one of these days. And He wants you to be a godly leader. He wants you to be one that's pure in your mind, that's pure in your heart, that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, who has become, is becoming mature. I say that like that because I thought when I was 18, I was mature. And I thought then later on, when I was 20, I maybe had arrived and looked back at 18 and thought, well, I was sure what. And then I have gotten to be 60, a little past 61 now. And I'm looking back and think, oh, how ignorant I have been. And how long-suffering people have been with my ignorance. And I look back and realize that the Lord had great mercy on me. And He works with us. Whom the Lord loves, what does He do with us? He corrects us, doesn't He? It says chasten in the Scripture, but what that means, He lovingly and firmly turns us from the path that we thought was right or the path that we thought we wanted to go on. He adjusts that into the right way. And sometimes, depending on how well we respond to His voice, sometimes it's a gentle turning and sometimes it's a more firm one. I maybe have said this here before, but there was one time in particular in my life when the Lord spoke pretty strongly with me, strong enough that it hurt. And after that, I was glad to see what the Lord had revealed to me. But and the embarrassment that I had went through, I thought, Lord, I said, wasn't there an easier way? He said, I tried all of them, but You didn't listen till now. Yes, Lord, help us. Because this is where the Lord would train us men, us hard-headed men, train us to have a little more sensitive ear to the Lord. That we might be adjusted, our ways might be amended more gently. That we would also learn how to help and nurture those that come under our authority. And we're supposed to have authority. But we can't do that well until we've learned how to walk under godly authority. That's the best way. That's the best way to exercise ourselves in the Lord. You young men, you need to have older men. You need to have older men who have left behind good examples, who have been examples for you, that you can see a consistency, a constant way of living before them. You'll be blessed if you mark those like that. So that lets me know when I say that I'm getting into that age that I'm not the youngest one around here anymore. And God wants me to live in such a way. He wants, Brother Carl, He wants us older ones to live in such a way that the younger ones coming on can look and say, they're doing it right. They're doing it right. Well, over here in 1 Peter 3, husbands, love your wives. Another place in the Scripture talks about that. But He says, giving honor unto, and this is the seventh verse again. Giving honor, unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. This isn't demeaning to the wife in any way. This is honoring to her. When the husband does it right, it is glorifying to her. It is uplifting to her. It's inspiring to her. She blooms under His loving touch, His loving guidance in the home because He is who He's supposed to be. Giving honor unto the weaker vessel. That means you're there to help her and protect her and shield her and be that man of the home. You're supposed to be that. This is in the Scripture, good counsel for us. And then He goes on to say that you are heirs together of the grace of life. Painting of God's character upon your home. You are heirs together of that. And when you let strife and things come into your home, it hinders that painting. It hinders the vibrancy of the color that the Lord intended to be in your life for your children to see, for your community to see. It hinders. So you are intended to be knit together in such a fashion that the people around you, especially your family, can see Christ in that. And then, he said, you are heirs together of the grace of life that your... He says this to us, that your prayers act like this. Be careful like this, that your prayers be not hindered. It's important that you're able to get your prayers through and be in contact with the Lord. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. You want to be, young man, you feel like the Lord may call you someday for the ministry. I hope He does. I really do. I pray that He does. We're getting older. And we need a lot of young men with some young passion coming on. We want you. We want you. But I'm not calling you. It better be the Lord calling you. I don't have grace to give you. But I hope you understand that to fulfill the calling the Lord has on your life, you need to walk with the Lord. But in that process of walking with the Lord, then He says, He gives this counsel. Finally, be ye all of one mind. If we come together and we start having variation. I'm not talking about just human. We have some human differences. You know, you might like to go hunting and maybe I don't, or I used to though. I think I'm just getting too old to do it anymore. That's part of the problem. Your activity might be different than mine. Things that we like. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the passion for the Lord. Have you ever noticed when we might have very differing modes of what we like to do in life? I'm a farmer, and you may work in Baton Rouge, and that might be exactly what you like doing. And I could never do that. I'm not going to be a... You won't find me working in New Orleans unless the Lord really did something. That's just not me. But we can come here together on Wednesday night and you can share what the Lord did for you. You can even tell me what the Lord showed you on the job right in the middle of Baton Rouge or New Orleans. He showed you something and it just bloomed in your heart. And you come and share it with me Wednesday night and it rings true in my heart. We're of the same mind, brother. That's it. I understand that. Sing me a song about heaven. Sing me a song of these glorious songs we have in our songbook, and it rings true in my heart. We're of one mind. When these songs quit meaning anything to you, when the Scripture quits being alive to you, begin check what's going on. Because God wants to reinvigorate. He needs to be of one mind with Him. Be knit together. Be of one mind. Having compassion one of another. Oh, this is one of the things. If we're going to work for the Lord, have compassion. Use compassion. Wherever I have went in the work of the Lord, whether it be the streets of Pampa, Texas, knocking on doors, inviting people to come out to the meeting, in the drug-infested area where the cops are circling, wondering why these... Brother Marty and I was in there. They were circling, wondering, what are these two fellas doing in the middle of this area? And we were knocking on doors and ran into some things. Inviting people. Why? Because we cared. People understand that. I know I was talking to a drug dealer on the corner of that one. He had the money. He had the... I know what he was doing. He knew I knew what he was doing. I was standing there talking to him about the Lord. And there was something inside of him. I could see it when in our conversation. A lot of times they'd harken back and say, yeah, I had a mama or I had a grandmother or I had somebody in the past. I know what you're talking about. They know. Have compassion. In Honduras, wasn't always able to speak their language well, but they can always understand if you care. They get it. Love. There's something that transcends the language barrier. If you look at somebody with earnest realness in your heart and in your eyes, letting them know that you care, they get at least some of that. And they recognize, oh, there's something here. You know, little things, it's been just absolute joys of my heart. We were down there sitting on the edge of a cemetery in Honduras up on the hillside, and the school was next door. Little children came out for recess, and they snuck around the corner and through a fence and came over there where we were, and I was talking with them across there. Had a pocket full of candy. You know what that was for? Wasn't for me. I was baiting them. I don't know whether their parents like me giving them candy or not, but those children like to come, and I like talking with them. So they brought them over there, and we started singing some songs. I started telling them stories. And they started gathering more and more children, especially they heard about candy, and they started kept coming. We was talking, and pretty soon, here comes, I don't know if he was principal or he was part of that school higher up. He came over there, was sitting on that fence. He didn't tell the children to leave. He sat there and he was listening. Pretty soon I said, I'm sorry. Should I not? He said, no, you go right ahead. He was enjoying listening to the stories. Folks, God wants us to have compassion. Amen. He wants us to use that compassion in life to reach out and touch people with the very love of God, with the comfort wherewith we also are comforted. You see, God wants to implant that within us. Oh my. I lose my place so easily. Be of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. You notice the character that Brother Paul is painting here? Why? You know, I love reading the Scripture because sometimes I read this and I realize what's in the heart of the writer. This is valuable to Brother Paul. That's why he's saying this. Well, yes, also the Lord is inspiring, I know, but he inspired these type of things in Brother Paul because it's valuable. And it's valuable for us today to be courteous, to be pitiful. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. That doesn't mean you look at somebody and say, they're just pitiful. That's not what this means. This means full of pity. Being full of pity towards somebody. Compassion again. Being full of active compassion. Being willing to reach out and touch. Be courteous. You ever try to exercise courtesy? You know, and I thank the Lord for a lot of the Southern people and what they were taught. I know when some of my cousins would come up there into Kansas and visit us down there, they always said, yes sir, and no sir, and yes ma'am, and no ma'am. It was challenging to me. I'm glad there was a certain courtesy that they were taught that I think is just good. Just good, wholesome caring for your showing respect. And when we lose respect and courtesy as a nation, we've lost something. And we're losing that, dear ones. That's far eroded. And there's bad results that come from that. But especially now as a man of God, as a representative, as an ambassador of Christ, God wants you and I to practice, to put into who we are these characteristics. Be courteous. Be thoughtful. You know, courtesy generally has to do with simply looking at somebody else and thinking, how can I don't want to damage them. Thinking about them, trying to help them. How can I bless them? This is courtesy. How can I do something that would affect them for good? And you're going to find if you do that, people are going to like you a little bit more. They're going to like you a whole lot better if you do, if you go around with your nose in the air and not caring about other people. That's a little hard to like. Have you ever noticed that? Somebody that acts like that, it's hard to really. But God wants us to practice that in such a way that even if somebody would speak ill of us and not want to like us, that they're going to find it hard not to like us because you're simply a godly, kind person. It's good. It's good for you and I to practice this. Not rendering evil for evil. Young men. Oh, I look back over my life and remember how many times that I felt righteous indignation to pull up in me, and I felt like it needed to be some retribution, sense of justice needed to be rendered here, not rendering evil for evil. So the Lord would like to temper us, young men. God wants us to recognize and see the justices and the injustices of life, but God wants us not to allow carnality to be the rule of our life. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called. You're called to this area of blessing, of treating people in such a way that they feel the touch of God when they've been with you. That when they walk away, even if they maybe had preconceived notions about you, they walked away, they had to say, you know what, they were nice people. I didn't think I was going to find that there, but that's who they are. I heard a lot of things about them. But I just had to tell you that I went and tasted, and they weren't bad at all. This is what God wants you and I to pursue. That type of a living. And it's plain, isn't it? Just hopefully you understand that this is just down in shoe leather. This is how we live our lives. This is what God wants us to have. This type of foundational understanding, foundational living in our life. Because then the Lord can build. Use that to build with into our future. Not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Well, our time has gotten away from us. But maybe I should stop there. I've got other verses, but there's no reason to make us all feel too badly this morning. But I want to encourage us today, and I want us to point us toward an area that God is calling us to. It's godliness. It's righteousness. It's turning away from the flesh. It's turning away from carnal passions. I did want to mention this. There was a woman, it's in Proverbs, latter part of Proverbs, she wrote something to her son, Lemuel, was that his name? And the mother of Lemuel. And she told him, give not your strength to a woman. Oh, that can be taken so harshly in our minds sometimes, but let me show you an example that I believe it illustrates this. There was a King Herod. You remember him? And you remember they had a birthday party for him. I believe his birthday. Had some sort of celebration for him, and there was some dancing went on there, and there was a woman in his life that evidently had been his brother's wife, and now he took her to wife, and it just draws a picture in my mind that she was a little bit of an ambitious woman, using herself and her desires. She wanted to. She'd gotten to be queen. She was wife of the king, King Herod. And here comes along John the Baptist and says, "It's not right. You know it's not right. You're not supposed to. That's she's not your wife. It's not right for you to do that." And John got put in prison. And then here came along this party. And this woman was holding a grudge because this held a certain amount of attack to her. This held a threat to her power and authority, her place she wanted to hold on to, because John had said this. And he was right. And King Herod knew his right. They all knew his right. Your heart condemns you. You know. So they all knew that. Then the dance came, and the king had let his passions rule him. This is an example. King, O Lemuel, don't give your strength away. God intended, young men, He intended you to be God-conquered young men. He intended you to be in where God is your head and authority in your life, and you have something that God has built in you that is strong and sturdy, and you're not being guided by your passions. And you're not being guided by a phone. You understand what I'm saying? I believe you do. There's some places that God wants you to be victorious in. There's some places of great victory, of overcoming grace. And that man had given away. He had given away his strength to his own carnal passion. And it caused him such... We know Herod more than anything today because he took off the head of John the Baptist. And would you like that to be part of your legacy? That this man lost his sense of righteousness. He has this black stain on his life because he gave his strength away. God help us today. Oh, you young man, I hope God calls you to high places of authority and action in the kingdom of God. But I want to tell you, before you ever get there, God will ask you first to become victors in your own life. Don't expect to be a leader unless you've learned how to lead your own heart, your own passions. Please don't. Don't try to be a leader of a home. I ask you, don't try to be a leader of a home until you've got some victory over your own passions. God gave you everything that you have, but the devil comes along and tries to corrupt things that should never be given into his control. So another verse, I was sanctified and meet for the master's use. The God, that means setting apart. That means cutting off any other authority for that. God wants you and I to be set apart intentionally. So young men, I'm giving you a challenge. Meet that challenge. Face the foe. Today, not just on the day you hear somebody challenge you to do it, but wake up tomorrow morning with the same challenge. And gain the victory tomorrow morning, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, until you string together years of victory. And you put distance between you and the enemy. And you have victory in your life. And you have some hope you can share with other young men who have went through struggles also in their life. Well, I'm going to stop. I had one more story. There's no reason to tell it. I believe that you've gotten the message, and I want to encourage us. And let's embrace the challenge that the Lord has for us. And let's go forward and conquer and go with the Lord all the way to the end. Pray for me, I want to serve Him.